It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Hello and welcome to the True Blue LA Podcast. I'm Jacob Birch. With me, as always, is second in career puns over replacement, Eric Steven. How's it going?
Nice. How you doing, Jacob?
Doing pretty good.
It's been a while since we recorded, so...
Yeah, 3 weeks.
Yeah. Well, it's all good, though.
You were supposed to ask me who number one in career puns over replacement was.
I was getting there. Yeah, who is number one in that stat, by the way?
Johnny Bench.
Nice, okay.
He has an inherent strength, you know. You can just go to the last name if he has to.
No runs, no drips, no errors.
Yeah. So. Alex Wood is catching up, though. How you been?
Yeah. All right. Just watching some baseball. Actually took a week off last week, so like really didn't do much of anything, which was weird because I don't take really vacations a lot, so I just kind of stayed home and I really enjoyed the week off. It was a very refreshing week, so it's all good.
Yeah, I have slowly tried to have a more grown-up sleep schedule, which means that I have had to go to bed at, like, the eighth inning the last few nights.
Oh, yeah.
It's been rough.
Ugh. Yeah, that's brutal. I admire anyone essentially outside the West Coast to follow a West Coast team, but especially, like, on the East Coast, you're close. You're a 2 hour difference, but
yeah.
Man, the East Coast people, like my brother moved to Baltimore like in 1994 with his wife, and I visited them once that first year, and I just remember staying up for like, wait, the Dodger game's at 10:30? Like what? like it doesn't dawn on you, you know, because I'd grown up out here I just never thought about it. And then, like, I can't imagine doing that, like, you know, half the game, probably, 75% of the games are that. And then you're like, oh, that's brutal. Like, it's unending. It's terrible.
And when it's either the opposite or just when you're a Dodgers fan and you have that rare East Coast day game, it's great. You know, every now and then, breakfast baseball is just wonderful.
Yeah, so last week was kind of weird. So, like, I strategically picked it when the Dodgers were on the road. Craig and the Davids and Ryan filled in very admirably last week. They did a lot of, like, all the writing basically, but like every game was a different time. Like all seven games, they were in St. Louis and Milwaukee, and yeah, they had like an 11:15 Pacific game, a 10:45 game. It was a very odd week, like just to, for game times. So.
So we were piecemealing. We weren't quite sure when we were going to record this week. We were pretty sure we would, but we weren't sure when. So you never asked Twitter for questions.
Yeah, my bad.
The other excuse is just that you're lazy, but we'll move on from that.
There's no question about that.
So I have written down 8, loosely centered around the idea of end of year awards. We're a third the way through the season, give or take.
Yeah.
So we'll do go through the awards. So they're kind of themed that, but tweet-sized questions. So you ready?
Sure.
Okay. We'll start with a non-award question, but Dodgers rode a little bit of a hot streak, and now we're in a little bit of a slump. They broke it yesterday due to the man who does it so frequently, Clayton Kershaw, with a little bit of help from Corey Seager. Is this just a lot of people timing their slumps at the same time? Is there any systematic thing the Dodgers need to worry about? Like last year, it was inability to hit lefties, sort of the narrative of the period. It doesn't seem to be anything super systematic other than just a bunch of guys are slumping. Is that fair?
it's a, I think it's probably a timing, like, so, you know, it's inevitable when like slumps happen like this, where everyone starts talking about how the, you know, the team's not hitting with runners in scoring position, but that's just, I mean, it's just kind of how it goes, you know, like you're going to go through stretches where it doesn't happen. Like they're generally, they've been okay with runners in scoring position, you know, and, but they're, what's good is that they're like near, I haven't looked today, but they're like near the top of the league in like opportunities with runners in scoring, which has been more of a problem in recent years. I think you want to give yourself the opportunities. If you're not getting the opportunities, that's usually more of a problem than not performing in those situations. So I think the issue the last like 10 days or so or week or whatever has been more that they just didn't get the big hits when they needed it, and but they were giving themselves opportunities, so it's been generally okay, and I think that tends to even out over time. So like it was weird, like they won yesterday 2-1, and I think just thinking back, so I think that's like 7 out of 8 games where they scored 3 runs or less, or no, 2 runs or less, I guess. And the other game they had 10. But like, you know, it's just one of those things. Like there's going to be stretches like this. Right before that, they had scored, you know, 5 or 6 in a bunch of games in a row. They swept the Cubs, you know, they won 2 out of 3 against the Cardinals at home. So like they were doing okay. Like, so I think it's just more of a cyclical thing. I'm not terribly worried about the offense. I mean, I kind of am if they do, like Justin Turner is going to be back this weekend. And I think they need something like him to like help like spark the offense up and just give him like an extra boost. You know, there are some slumping, you know, players in the lineup. And I think just generally adding back like you're basically your number 3 hitter is going to be a big boost to the lineup. So I think that'll help. So I think that's, they sort of need him back, you know, and healthy.
Starting off the awards, let's start off with the biggest award, Hall of Fame. Let's talk about Clayton Kershaw.
Okay.
Sort of like, I hate this happens like every so often. He'll have like that one bad, quote unquote, bad month, and you get to do the song and dance where his bad months look so good because he's so good, he's still the best. How good is he? I mean, I'm gonna, like, this is just such an easy question, I realize, but
yeah, I mean, it's one of the, okay, so he's, I think, let's put it this way, he's like so good that like a relatively like ordinary year, I guess, by his standards, is seen more as is something wrong with Clayton Kershaw than like, whereas like, I think he's been really good. Like he obviously had the issues earlier in the season with like the slider and like getting the velocity right and the difference between that and his fastball and it's, you know, that kind of thing. But it's all like smaller stuff. He's given up, you know, more home runs than normal, I think.
Walking a little bit more frequently.
Yeah, but even that, like,
it's still superhuman level, but
right. He walked Strasburg yesterday, which was his first pitcher walked since like 2015. He did walk 3, but like it's one of those things where like, yeah, you're talking about like, I mean, he walked 11 last year, so like, yeah. he could if he walks like, if he has a season where he walks like 30 batters, that's ridiculous, and like, you know, that's basically what he's going, what he's on pace for. So like, I don't know, like he seems like fine to me. He passed the 2,000 strikeout barrier. He's the 5th youngest guy to do that. 3rd fastest by innings. Max Scherzer, actually, his next start is gonna bump Kershaw down one because he has fewer innings, but not, he's older. But yeah, so he's been like, I think, really good, and kind of hitting his stride too. So you know, I expect sort of big things, like, you know, down the stretch from him.
Let's move on to MVP. Let's talk about Chris Taylor. little
sure
kind of that is this are we getting to that point where this is not no longer a fluke. A lot has been said about, you know, he's he worked in the offseason on his swing that got the bat speed up, and launch angle's always kind of been good. How much is that, like, it when you hear that, you when a guy's in the middle of like a 1 week or 2 week hot streak, it's really easy to kind of liken it to the best shape of my life spring training talk. Like, okay, that's cute that we have this sort of cause as to why he's doing good, but he could also just be riding a hot streak. We've seen plenty and plenty of players do that, and then after, you know, a few weeks, kind of die down. But he's been just keeping it up in not so fluky ways. Is this less of a fluke, or is this more of a sort of Justin Turner just on his career resurgence?
Yeah, it's one of those like things where, you know, he's not going to be like a 950 OPS guy. That said, like, he has been like, but yeah, so when you see something like this, like you always wonder, like, is it a fundamental change, or like you said, is it just a hot streak or whatever, or and he's just, you know, riding it out. But the reason to sort of believe in Chris Taylor is that, compared to last year, Roberts mentioned it in spring training that, you know, he had like an arm thing, I guess, going on, sort of affected his swing, and he worked on his swing during the off season, and it was basically like, I think he talked. I wrote a couple times about it. He's like, it's like his hands in the right spot, getting it like through the zone quicker, and he's like sort of increased his bat speed in that regard, and it's helped him, like, you know, basically just crush pitches, and so like that's helped quite a bit. And what's sort of like gone with it, like while he's you know, just like hitting they're not just mistakes, just hitting like hittable pitches. He's also like at the same time been more selective than ever. Like, so like he's doing exactly what you want. Like he's crushing strikes, laying off balls, and walking a lot, and like just being very, very productive. So, you know, going forward, you know, probably not going to keep it up, but that said, he doesn't have to. Like he could settle in at like this plateau well under where he's at and still be a very productive player. So, and the fact is he's like forcing his way into the lineup. They've been, you know, juggling injuries like all year where someone's sort of been, you know, out, or a number of people have been out to give Chris Taylor playing time as these guys come back, like Justin Turner's coming back. So that sort of closes the second base, third base loop. But Chris Taylor's been playing mostly like center field recently. Jock Peterson going to go on a probably a longer rehab assignment starting this weekend. So he could be like a couple weeks away. So once everyone sort of comes back, I think Chris Taylor is still going to get playing time because he's going to fill in at second. He's going to fill in center. I would imagine he might even get time in right, spelling Puig's a little bit. And then also, depending on how they do second and third or whatever. So I think once everyone's back, I think Chris Taylor could still start like four games a week. So, which is fine, like, which would be great. So, yeah. And I think, he's just sort of settled in as a very productive offensive player, and like one who's sort of a utility man. Defensively, I'm not sure where I'd rate him. He's had a rough, I think, been a little rough defensively, and he's new to the outfield, so but he's hitting well enough to where it doesn't, you just take what you get out there, and I think it's been fine.
Well, moving on. Cyan, I'm stretching here a little bit, but Alex Wood has sort of firmly pitched his way, despite his little DL rest stint, into the starting rotation, supplanting Kenta Maeda, and we'll get to Kenta in a little bit. You and I are wrong a lot, but man, yeah. we were right about Alex Wood and have been for a while.
Yeah, exactly. He won pitcher of the month in May. He's been basically just excellent ever no matter how he's pitched, like he started in the bullpen, he really only had the two relief appearances, and he's been excellent as a starter. He was excellent in relief. He's been striking out a ton of batters. He's healthy. He's back. He has like the weirdest delivery ever, but like his, you know, it's one of those things where as long as he's comfortable with it and the ball's in like his, or you know, his delivery's in the right spot at the, you know, the point of attack or whatever, and everything's fine, and he feels great, and it's all coming together for him. He was on the DL though, like at the end of May with I think it was inflammation in his like his shoulder and like clavicle area. He's supposed to rejoin the rotation this weekend, so he'll be back. So that's a good thing. It helps them out. So yeah, he's been excellent, and the way the rotation sort of stacked right now, like we've looked at this, like the Dodgers still don't have that like number two guy, but Alex Wood's been pitching like that. So if I had to pick like right now, he's the clear like number two behind Kershaw in terms of how you stack up like in the postseason. Obviously, there's a long way to go between now and then. But you know, if we're auditioning for that number two role, I think Alex Wood has the spot as it stands right now.
Rookie of the year. This is the easy spot to talk about Cody Bellinger. It seems like the Dodgers have a guy like this every single year, where you and I go into spring training and say, "Yeah, he'll get the cup of coffee," and in September, and then maybe be a productive guy the year after, and then Dodgers slump, they call this guy up, and then he just hits his way into never being sent down again.
It really has been amazing. Like the, you know, when he got his spot because they had a couple injuries, including Jock Peterson, and it really was going to be just for like a week, you know, or whatever, or like however long the DL stint was going to last, and they were planning to send it back, and then like, you know, a couple other guys got hurt. Bellinger just kept hitting. And then, you know, Adrian Gonzalez was the big sort of factor there to help extend that a little bit. And then, like you said, he just kept hitting. Like, he took over the team, like, lead in home runs and RBIs, like, despite playing, like, nearly half the games of everyone else at some point. He's slumped a little bit recently, like, you know, but still, like, has been, like, productive. Like, he's struck out a lot, you know, so people are going to point to that. But he's also has pretty good, like, you know, pretty good plate coverage. They're very comfortable with him facing lefties, which is rare. But I think, yeah, he's been, like, as good as average, like, as possible, you know, given the situation. But and I do think, like, just given that he came up in late April, he's gonna, I mean, I can't imagine him not, you know, getting the playing time going forward. So I think he's got to be the favorite for National League Rookie of the Year. It wouldn't surprise me in the least. But it's just been one of those, like, he's essentially made himself a fixture in the lineup, which has been kind of amazing.
Not just that he's a rookie, because early on before Cody's most recently slumped, sort of a easy East Coast, West Coast comparison was to Aaron Judge, but Aaron Judge is 4 years older than him.
Yeah. And I do like the... and Aaron Judge is my large adult son. That's the nice sort of meme that everyone... or nickname that everyone has, because he's just... he's like a giant human. That's pretty good. Yeah, so it is kind of funny to put that in perspective, you know, like how young some of these guys are, like, and then, you know, sort of people talk about like this next wave, like, you know, Alex Verdugo, you know, not really hitting for power, but doing like everything else right, playing really good defense in the outfield, hitting around 300, and then like decent, very good walk to strikeout ratio in AAA. Willie Calhoun doesn't necessarily have a position, but he's been hitting the cover off the ball, and like those guys are young too, like for AAA. So like, you know, it's just a matter of like, you know, whether they're going to be with the Dodgers or a part of some package or whatever. But These guys are all still pretty young and productive, so it's just part of that wave of talent that they've been striving for the last couple of years.
And before I get tweets about it, I realize that Aaron Judge is like 3 years and 3 months older, but whatever. Right now it's 4 years, and that's what I'm going to stick with.
Yep.
So let's talk about All-Star Awards. Corey Seager, looking like an All-Star, looking like he'll get it. You have to assume Kershaw will just be a perennial All-Star. He's kind of earned that status of, even if he had an actual bad year, not a, like, on his level bad year, he would still probably be an All-Star. So
one of these years he has to start. So
yeah.
He's got a decent shot, I think, this year to start. It probably depends maybe on logistics and maybe depending on how things shake out in the next month or so.
The All-Star question that I had, though, was who will be in the lead of the National League West by the All-Star break?
Yeah, so the Rockies and Diamondbacks clearly are not going anywhere at this point. Like, they've been playing, very well. And the Rockies currently lead in the division. The Diamondbacks are right there. Dodgers are right there. I've been on record, and I've said this, and I still believe this, that the Dodgers eventually will win the division. If we're talking about the All-Star break, it's close enough now. I do think the Dodgers will probably catch them by the All-Star break. So I'll say the Dodgers will be in first place by then, but I think it's still going to be close. So any one of those three could still, be atop the division by, when the All-Star break is.
Let's move on to the most important award, the Rolaids Man of Relief. Is it still called that? Is that still?
That is the classic, though. That was a separate award for a while. I wonder if it, no, I don't think it still exists anymore.
I'm looking it up.
But
they ended in 2012. But that's how I think of it every single time.
No, you're right. Exactly. It's a classic, and I love that it's Rolaids. That's the greatest.
But I have two players I want to talk about. Kenta Maeda refusing to walk anybody, which is nice. That's nice of him. And then I want to talk maybe secretly a setup man gets the award this year. And Kenta Maeda going to spend some time in the bullpen, sort of on official status, according to Dave Roberts. So let's start with Kenta. We'll end on a higher note.
He's had
a rough year all year. Had a few moments where the results looked good, but even when you were watching him pitch, it wasn't always on, or he's hitting sort of a pitching against a bad offense. Is this fixable, do you think?
Yeah, his stuff is still there, I think, and he mixed in the cutter a little bit more, and he was having some success. And then the last three starts, I think he's given up runs early and then just falling behind. I think it's fixable. This bullpen trip now is temporary. I mean, it's basically he and Hyunjin Ryu have just switched spots. Because a couple weeks ago, Ryu was struggling, and they put him in the bullpen, and he had this sort of four inning save of a Maeda game. And then so they might Maeda might piggyback on a Ryu start this weekend. This ever-changing roles, and we haven't even talked about Urias yet. He's made two starts with AAA. I can't imagine he's going to be held down in AAA too much longer. So they're still mixing and matching those seven guys for five spots. So the one good thing, Ryu has been, he pitched seven innings the other day. He's shown that he's sort of building. And he's getting back to where he was before surgery. So I think there's encouraging signs there. But it's just one of those things, it could change week to week. Maeda, I don't know how long he's going to be in the bullpen, but we'll see. I'm not really sure what to expect there.
And then we'll move on to the Kinley. Has yet you mentioned me. I actually hadn't realized it was a record. Has not walked anyone this year.
Yeah, hasn't walked a single batter. Has the major league record for most strikeouts to start a season before walking a batter. What is he at? Like, what's it like 41 right now? I don't have it in front of me. But yeah, he's been. I mean, it's really remarkable. Obviously converted catcher, and it's hard to make enough of that, like how relatively raw he was when he started and basically has become, like, he still has this, you know, amazing, like, strikeout efficiency, but he's also, like, just completely obliterated, like, he's eliminated the walk basically from his repertoire. And so he's really locked in. Like, he already has, five 4-out saves this year. He had five, more than an inning last year. This is in the regular season, obviously the postseason where he was just crazy. And he had I think 4 or 5, multi-inning outings, and obviously you're not going to expect him to do that all year, but they're clearly sort of relying on him a lot this year. He's been pretty amazing. So it's crazy that last year was his first All-Star appearance. He's clearly going to make the All-Star team again this year. So you're basically looking at the locks are Kershaw, Jansen, Seager for the All-Star team, and then it's just a matter of, depending on how things shake out. Justin Turner was leading the league in hitting before he went on the deal with the hamstring injury. So if he has a productive month, get to see a situation where he's on the All-Star team. But other than that, and I guess Cody Bellinger, if he sort of continues hot hitting, he could be the rookie story, that kind of a thing where he's added in. But it might be a long shot. But I think those three guys are pretty safe bets to go to Miami. But Kenley's been great. He has 199 saves, so his next one's going to be 200. There's only a handful of guys who had 200 saves of one team. I forget the exact number. I think it's less than 20. So he's getting up there in total saves.
And so I just have a few cursory notes. I wanted to mention, when we were talking about how young Cody Bellinger is, I don't know if this is the same for you or for other people, but when Corey Seager comes up, I'm like, man, this grizzled veteran who is exactly 2 years younger than Aaron Judge. He's unbelievable. Just how, because he had he's been dealing with a couple mini slumps where they haven't been that bad, but just how easily he seems to have adjusted and just goes with the flow of the game. Flow of the season, I should say.
Like you say, he'll go through slumps, but there's almost never a spot where Corey Seager's up. I never think he's clearly going to be overmatched right now. I feel pretty comfortable if he's up in a big spot, that's about as good of a compliment I think as you could give a hitter, that you just doesn't really matter who's pitching. Oh, Corey Seager's up, probably something good's going to happen. Yep. That's sort of how the vibe he gives off and he's only 23, so yeah. It's pretty crazy.
The last award I want to mention is the Ford Frick Award. I've said it a few times, but I continue to be amazed at how quickly I've endeared myself to Joe Davis.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I can't imagine what he feels going through this, being the guy to replace Vin. I know, obviously he, and it's by no fault of his own. He just happens to be the next guy in line. But he's you don't get the sense from his broadcast that it's affecting him. And he's been nothing but reverential or respectful to Vin and Dodgers history and everything. So I do enjoy Joe quite a bit calling games. And to give you an idea too, of how quickly he's been sort of ingrained into sort of the fans have embraced him as well, is that he's still doing he does Fox games, mm-hmm. every once in a while. So like this weekend, I think he's doing, I forgot the game, to be honest, but, so he's going to be gone this weekend when the Dodgers are doing the Reds. And I think I tweeted
Boston.
Something.
Detroit, Boston.
Okay. That's right. Yeah. So, I tweeted something about that and people were like, no, you know, like, it is kind of funny. Like, but, yeah, he's been good. And I like I said, I really like Oral Hershiser as an analyst. Those two work together very well.
I was about to say, I like Oral when he's with Joe. I think one game when another day when Joe was doing a Fox game, I think it was Nomar and Oral. Did they maybe they threw Charlie Steiner in there? I'm pretty sure I heard Nomar and Oral in the same booth once. Maybe I'm making that up.
Unless they did like this so far this year, Nomar has really only been like the third guy, like remotely.
Yeah, that's what I'm recalling them having a conversation together. And again, yeah. I may just be conflating two different games together, but it got a little. The homerism was up. The back yeah. in my day was up, and I feel yeah. like Joe does such a good job of keeping that at a good level while also being very reverential to Oral.
Sure. Yeah, and like the from a technical like and getting Oral like on track to do like. His strength is more like, you know, just talking pitching or just mm-hmm. general baseball, and Joe like keeps him on that, and like that's great, like that's what he does best, and so yeah, just I think those two work together very well.
Yeah, I am excited to have that continue as I sadly fade away in the eighth inning as I go to bed most of these nights. I may start just sneaking my phone in and maybe just like putting headphones in. And at least listening to the last ending of the game. So we'll see. We'll see if I can make that work.
Man.
But what's weird is if it's tied and it's looking like it's going to go to like 3 or 4 a.m. my time, I'm getting up. I'm calling an all-nighter. I want to see my 20-inning game.
Yeah. I'm as you know, I'm on board. I want to call a 20-inning game. Not call a 20. I want to cover a 20-inning game.
You want to tweet.
yeah. But yeah, no, that's... That's loyalty right there.
Well, that's all I have for you. You have anything you wanted to bring up before we go?
I don't think so. It was good just getting caught up and where we're at and just getting back to, you know, like I said, a little bit of normalcy and recording. So yeah, thanks for listening, everybody. And we'll talk to you again next week. It's going to be the MLB draft. So. We'll talk to you around that time next week. Thanks, everybody.
Step into the world of power, loyalty. And luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18+.